Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Elsa? Do you wanna build a snowman? Come on, let's go and play. I never see you anymore. Come out the door, it's like you've gone away. We used to be best buddies.
Welcome to Missing Frames, the podcast where we watch movies we probably should have seen by this point in our lives. Happy 2018, everybody. I'm Sean Eastridge, your host, and I'm so excited to start a brand new year with you. We watch all the classics, cult favorites, movies, you know, Empire Strikes Back, Princess Bride, Blues Brothers. So we've got to start this year off right. And let me check. What movie are we watching today? Frozen. Okay, whose idea was this?
Hey.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's the voice of my lovely wife, Sarah Eastridge. And if you haven't figured it out already, she picked the movie we're watching, which is Disney's 2013 Mondo box office hit, Frozen.
Yep.
And this is a movie you love.
Hey, Sean.
Yeah?
Do you want to build a snowman?
Oh my God. See, and I knew that. I knew you were going to say that.
Because I listened to the soundtrack quite a lot.
You know what, Sarah? I knew you were going to say that. I'm just going to let it go.
Oh, we're so cute.
So that's the extent of my knowledge of Frozen.
That's it?
That it. Well, I know there's a snowman named Olaf.
Okay.
There's a girl, Elsa.
Yes.
Is she the one with the blue dress? There's like a blue dress and then there's a redhead and there's a blonde.
Shades of blue, yeah.
Yeah. So there's the blonde is Elsa, right? And then the redhead is someone else.
Anna. Mm-hmm.
Onomatopoeia. That's all I know about Frozen.
And what about the rugged Iceman?
Yeah, you've got to have a rugged Iceman in mm-hmm. your movie.
You know who that is?
It's
you know who it's played by?
Oh, isn't it the guy from Making a Murderer? Not Making a Murderer.
Mindhunter? Oh, happy 2018,
oh, they both
everybody.
Have murderers in them. Come on. Give me some slack. So, yeah. Well, there we
Dial
go.
Dial M for murder. Right.
So, yeah. Well, this is... I don't know how this happened, but I felt like I was picking a lot of movies that Sarah hadn't seen, and I wanted to return the favor. Sarah, what made you pick Frozen?
I freaking love this movie.
Okay.
Like, unashamedly.
It has nothing
love
to do
it.
With the weather?
It is pretty cold.
It's actually pretty cold in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's...
Shockingly.
It's very windy. It's good wind chill.
Yeah.
No, I just love this movie. There's something about it. It just makes me happy, and it's a great sing-along. It's all the things that Sean loves in movies.
And you know what else Sean loves? Sean loves the Nerd Party. In general.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I feel like I always end the shows. I end each episode talking about the Nerd Party. I'm going to do it at the beginning. I want to make this a habit because I know by the end everyone is tuning out. You may already have tuned out. You might not even be hearing this. And in that case, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to say. But I want to plug the Nerd Party a little bit. It's awesome. There are so many shows. I am one of the shows, but we've got all kinds of things ranging the whole gamut. Is that the right way to say that word, gamut? It's not gamut.
I like gamut.
Gamut. Let's say gamut.
Yeah.
So we've got all kinds of topics. We've got Star Trek. There's a new Doctor Who podcast, which is awesome. And we've got, there's so many different things. Covers a whole wide range of nerddom. And you've got to check it out at thenerdparty.com. If you're listening to us on iTunes or wherever you're listening to us, give us a 5-star rating. That's the best one, right? I mean, if there's anything better than 5 stars, give us that as well. And that's just some logistical stuff I wanted to get out of the way. The Nerd Party is awesome. I mean, what more can I say about that? And back to the show. Frozen is apparently awesome. But I have no... what's shocking to me is, you know, pulling up Box Office Mojo, this is like the 12th most profitable film of all time.
It ranks as the highest grossing animated film of all time.
Unless you count Avatar, which is pretty much
animated.
An animated film. But
I mean, fine, whatever. Give James Cameron his Avatar.
Yeah, that's insane.
And I will have my Frozen.
Right. I'm looking at the list. So it's topped only by Harry Potter, the last Harry Potter movie, Age of Ultron, Fast and Furious, Avengers, Jurassic World, The Force Awakens, Titanic, and Avatar, the most popular animated film of all time.
Yeah, and Frozen brought us Adele Nazeem.
Yeah, okay? Adele Nazeem.
Of 2013. Like, that's one right. Of that's a the historic other thing. Moment.
The other thing I know about this is Adele Nazeem is in it. Yeah. And she is by far mine and John Travolta's favorite singer, songwriter. But yeah, that's the extent of my knowledge.
That's kind of
I don't
fun,
even
though.
Know if I've heard the song Let It Go all the way through.
Oh, you're about to hear it.
I bet I am. I can only be happy we don't have kids, because from what I've heard from the people who do have kids, this is a film that is on
repeat.
On repeat.
Yeah.
Now, when I was a kid, the movies that I had on repeat were Return of the Jedi and Superman 2. I can only hope that our offspring follow suit. I don't know if I can handle Disney sing-alongs 24/7.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
I was never one of those kids. I don't know if it's just a male-female thing. Like, if girls are more inclined to watch Disney movies growing up. I never really loved Disney movies.
See, I was really into the Disney princess thing.
Yeah.
So, big time. So, this for me was like, awesome. I can continue loving Disney princesses.
Right. Well, you know what's funny? I missed Wreck-It Ralph, which I really wanted to see.
I've never seen that either.
Yeah, it's like... So John Lasseter switched from Pixar to Disney Animation. Like, Disney Animation was kind of struggling a bit because they didn't know right. what to do and their movies weren't great. So John Lasseter kind of came in and led the charge and brought his Pixar flavor to their animation studios. And I think Wreck-It Ralph was one of the first. And then Frozen was like the huge hit. But I did see, I saw, well, Tangled was one of the first too. And I liked Tangled.
Yeah.
Tangled great. Was great. Moana. I really liked Moana a lot.
Yes, me too.
So I don't know. I so
have
you
like a strong track record.
Yeah. So say. you saw Frozen in theaters?
Yeah, like twice or three times.
Good
it was
Lord.
Like yeah, several times.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know this about you.
Yes, you did.
That's why I love the show. I learn new things about my wife every time we do an episode together. That's so clearly you loved it.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it from the second it started. Like,
yeah.
I'm just a huge fan. It's fun. And I haven't seen it in a couple years. It came out when? 2013?
Yeah.
So I would say the last time I saw this was like 2014, 2015.
Can you believe now this movie is 5 years old?
No, it's crazy.
You can count the with a single hand. That takes up a whole hand. You can count. It's 5 years old. That's yeah. crazy to me.
And I think Frozen 2. I know it's happening. Like, I just don't know when.
Yeah, it feels like this movie just came out yesterday. I feel like it has not left the general like mindset. It's everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
I see it like in merchandising. I see like little animated shorts before Disney movies. You know, it's all over the place. Speaking of which, I haven't seen Coco yet, but apparently there was a notoriously bad Olaf short before Coco.
Yeah, I would love to say I'm really bummed that we missed it. So even though we're going to go see Coco at some point, it has been pulled.
Yeah, they took it off because apparently people were very upset by how bad it was.
I can't imagine people being so upset that they would pull it.
I feel like we should
if it was not offensive or something.
We should just watch that. Can we get access to that and watch that instead?
For the Missing Frames episode?
Yeah, let's just do that.
Heck no. You're going to want the worst bit of it.
We're really committing to this.
We are all in.
Well, hey, it's all about, you know, it's not just the classics. It's not just the nerdy stuff.
You made me watch 100 Apes movies. I want to point that out right now.
And
so
you're
going to watch Frozen with me.
You
were
so welcome. Well, you know, you skipped the Tim Burton one. So
did you.
Yeah. No, I did. I watched it.
Well,
I watched it. Don't
just
worry.
Because
I slept
you
through,
punish yourself.
Slept through a portion of it, but I did watch it. but okay, cool. So, all right, Frozen. I don't know.
You're
don't
not
know
excited.
I'm not excited. I do want to see this.
Sean,
just
let
to
it go.
I know. I do want to see this. I have wanted to watch this. I it's not like I'm like, oh, I hate Disney. I hate animation. I love both those things. It's just I think it just never. It was never on my list to see, and then it became such a huge deal that it was just kind of like, all right, well, I just don't care. I'm just gonna put it out of sight, out of mind. But we own it. So it always felt like, all right, well, at some point, I guess I have to watch this. And what better time than Missing Frames? It's January, so we're pretty much frozen right now. It just feels like it's fitting. But if I had to scale my anticipation and excitement level, I'm going to give it maybe a 3 out of 10. That's too low. No, God. I'd say 5 out of 10. I was thinking 3 out of 5, and then I just said
10.
30%. I don't know why. Yeah, I'd say 50%
excited.
Let's just
quit while we're ahead.
I feel like I wouldn't have missed anything if I didn't see this movie. Like, this Missing Frames episode is the main motivation for watching it. Otherwise, I probably would never have watched it.
I'm very curious to see what you think.
Yeah. I hope I like it. I have high hopes because I feel detached enough from the insanity of it, and I don't feel like it's been overexposed to me like the way it has with certain people who are just like, oh my God, if I hear Let It Go one more time, I'm going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
I don't feel that way. So I hope that allows me to enjoy it the way it was intended to be enjoyed. And that will hopefully... I'm just hoping to have a good time and like it. I like all the Disney animation stuff, so
yeah, we'll see. And Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell.
She's awesome.
Kristen Bell and the Making a Murderer guy. He's my favorite. Stephen Avery. He's the star of this movie.
Oh, God, I love him so much.
So let's go ahead and watch Frozen, and we will see you, the audience, on the other side.
Now available to own on video cassette.
Welcome back. We just watched Frozen. So, Sarah, I assume you enjoyed it again.
I did.
Did you notice anything else that made it a more enriched experience? Or
no, I think I had the same reaction to it. I think it's really fun and I like it. And okay. I love the music and I was like mouthing the lyrics. I was trying not to sing because I did not want to distract you.
The first thing you said to me was, can I sing along? I mean, you might as well have been Anna asking if I wanted to build a snowman.
I know, so, I was. Yeah. I was lip syncing.
Yeah. So I thought it was very cute.
Oh, no. I was so worried.
But I don't think it's a good movie.
No. All right. Turn the mics off. We're done.
We're going to fight now. We have to have a family meeting and we'll be back.
That's okay.
This was... it's interesting because it was a very weird... It was an odd story. I don't know what I thought the story was going to be. But it felt very weird. It felt strangely paced. And it felt like, as far as what they were trying to establish with the relationships and what the story of the movie was, I thought there was going to be more at stake. And it felt very... It took a while for me to figure out, like, okay, where is this going? What is the point of all this? And then when I realized, I was like, oh, okay, so... It's about this girl and her sister, and her sister is upset. It was very like I felt like it took a long time to try to like get to the point, and then I felt like when it got to the point, it was like, oh, is that it? So the whole time I'm sitting there and I'm like, it doesn't feel like there's anything at stake, and I didn't really connect with any of the characters. Like with Tangled, I really loved everybody and I really like was invested in it. Moana was the same thing, and with Moana, like beyond just the lovable characters, I felt like there was something at stake. She had to save her people, the island, she was on a mission. This felt like very scattered. And
but it was sisters saving sisters.
Yes, which is sweet. It's sweet. But you know, I just want to start from the beginning of this because let's unpack this. So we start things off and they're children. Mm-hmm. It's Elsa and Anna, and Elsa, for whatever reason, has these powers. She can freeze things, and her and Anna play together. And the movie kind of threw me for a loop right from the get-go because, you know, they're playing together and Anna is a little more rambunctious. She's a little too enthusiastic, and Elsa is like shooting ice mountains up for her to jump on, and Anna's going too quickly and Elsa accidentally hits her.
Right.
And it harms her, and to the point where it's like she's on the verge of death, and her parents bring her to like a troll kingdom and are like, please heal our daughter. And they're like, the troll's like, oh, I can, but I think it's best to erase all her memories of her sister's magic. And it was like, why would they do that? That from the get-go, I didn't understand. I was like, why did they erase her any memory of Elsa's magic. I guess it was supposed to be...
It's probably because she was the one who was always wanting to play with Elsa, with her magic.
Yeah, and
they didn't want to have another accident.
I understood that, but it also... It didn't make sense because then Elsa becomes a recluse and a shut-in. And it's like... Because she can't control her powers.
Right.
So it felt a little... That didn't work for me. It felt like a really awkward way to shut Elsa off and make her kind of a, like, tortured, like, internalized character.
Yeah.
But it felt like a very forced way to create conflict between the characters, but it was conflict not because of either of them, really. I mean, Elsa had her powers and she couldn't control them, but it wasn't like a real conflict. It was like a fake conflict. Like, Elsa was basically like, I can't talk to you because you can't know that I have magic powers. And it was like, well, why don't you just tell her and just be like, oh, I have trouble controlling them. It felt like a very flimsy excuse for there to be a division.
I'll concede that. It was a pretty flimsy storyline.
Yeah. It's like, you know, with Tangled, I don't remember Tangled very well, but it's the story of Rapunzel. So it's like she's in her castle. She's kept there. Like, mm-hmm. somebody is keeping her there against her will. Elsa, it's just like, you know, there's the whole sequence where she's growing up and they do the Do You Want to Build a Snowman song. Yeah. And it, I did not buy that... like Elsa would just be like, okay, I'll hide my powers and also I will cut myself off completely. I get what the justification is. I get it's supposed to be, well, her powers, she can't control them. But it felt to me very much like the screenwriters kind of like, we need to come up with a way to create a division between them. And it would have been way more interesting to me if maybe Elsa, it was kind of like a Magneto and Xavier thing. I know I'm bringing my nerdiness into this. I'm turning it into X-Men. But the reason that works is because Magneto is, you know, he has these powers and he thinks he's superior to human. And Xavier is like, no, we should be with the humans and we should work with them and we're not any better than them. But I would have liked, maybe it would have been better if as Elsa gets older and she realizes I have these powers I can control and it's maybe not motivated by evil, but like... I felt like that would have been a more natural division than something that felt like it was like a misunderstanding and then a really arbitrary, like, let's erase all her memories of her sister's magic. And it creates tons of problems for them throughout the movie. Like, you know, it's like Elsa cuts her sister off emotionally and Anna doesn't really understand why. And she's like, I just want my sister to love me again. And then Elsa reveals her powers by accident and it ruins everything even more. But I just felt like the strain in their relationship was created by something that felt very like a forced plot point to me. It didn't feel very natural.
That's fair.
That kind of bothered me, like, from the get-go.
Right
off the gate, yeah. I was very, like, it was like the movie kind of pushed me off.
If you were more into the music, you wouldn't have cared, Sean.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. I mean, the music was fine.
I remember. My God. What do you mean, fine? Well, it's so good.
I liked the music. I'm not going to get on the bandwagon. Gosh. I know everyone is. Do you want to build a snowman? No! There are so many videos of that. But it's like, it's a very good soundtrack. You know, I liked all the songs. The Let It Go, that was. Again, I thought Let It Go, like, when I think of that song, I think of a very emotional, like, release moment. And for Elsa, it kind of was, but it happens, like, halfway through the movie, and it was her, the whole point of the song is Let It Go. Oh, I can be free finally. And it was like, it just didn't work for me. I didn't feel like the emotional buildup for it. I thought that was going to have more of an emotional resonance for me, but it didn't.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I know. I'm
that's okay.
Is it okay?
I think we're okay.
Okay.
We're okay.
So I think my struggle throughout the movie was to connect with the characters, and I couldn't because I didn't buy their motivations and I didn't buy their relationships with one another. And it was hard because at the beginning, we don't really get a sense of Elsa and Anna, who they are as characters. Anna is like...
Well, you get... Yeah, that's true. I mean, you get like 5 minutes with them.
Yeah, you get 5 minutes as children.
And then they're separated for a while.
Right. Yeah. And there's no explanation given.
Yeah.
So they have an estranged relationship with no true justification or logic. Then Anna wants to get married. Like, she's like, I want to fall in love at this the ceremony.
The coronation.
Yeah, the coronation. Yeah, she's like, I want to fall in love. And she falls in love with the first person she runs into. Yeah. And it plays out later in the movie. Like, it's like, oh, he turns out to be a bad guy. But
she also, because of her sister, has had no outside experience. Like, she's been in the same kind of boat where she's been lonely and...
Yeah, so has she, but she's been like trapped inside and stuff.
I don't think she's been trapped inside, but I think she's, I mean, they gave the idea that she was isolated and lonely like her sister.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that she would
just go after the first guy she sees. So so what's
I'm defending
Hans?
Her.
The movie is very weird about it. Like, it's like this guy comes out of nowhere. He's like very charming and fun. There's no hint of like any malicious intent. They fall in love and they get engaged immediately. And that's what sets Elsa off. Like, they're like, will you give us your blessing? And she goes, no. And she unleashes her like snow fury, which was again, like, where the movie's stakes, there aren't any stakes. Like, they're like, there are small stakes between Elsa and Anna, but they feel very flimsy. Again, it's like not driven by anything that feels significant. It feels like it's driven by misunderstanding and kind of again, flimsy character development.
I totally agree with you, but I still love this movie. Can I say that? Can I be like, yeah, the plot's kind of dumb, but I love it, and I love the music, and I love the way it makes me feel. That's that.
Yeah.
Did you like the performances? As far as like the,
I mean, the voice acting was great. Yeah. I loved what's his name from Making a Murderer. he was great. No, he was. I mean, he was.
It's so funny because that was like his first thing that he's credited.
It is
for.
Very strange that he did. He's done this in Mindhunter.
I know, like, and two polar opposite.
Amazing in Mindhunter. Yeah, like he's great. He's one of one of my favorite actors. So it was fun to have him in this movie.
So Idina Menzel and
Adele Dazeem.
Excuse me, I mispronounced her name.
Yeah, don't
and
forget.
Kristen Bell. It's funny because they both auditioned for Rapunzel for Tangled and
didn't
get it. But they, I guess, like their audition
but
it tapes
all
were held.
Worked out.
Yeah, which is very funny. Yeah. But
well, that's nice. And then Josh Gad is in the movie.
He's
as
great.
Olaf.
Yep.
And I didn't like Olaf.
Oh my God.
It just annoyed me. It felt like, again,
he like improvises most of his
part
lines.
Part of it
apparently.
Is just my like really snobby film like film writer mind.
I don't have that.
I'm thinking of it
I'm
as
really
like, okay,
generic,
they created the snowman character because they wanted someone to like have like, oh, goofy
laughs.
Fun punchlines, and none of the jokes really worked for me.
Is he like the Jar Jar Binks?
He felt a little Jar Jar Binksy to me.
I like
it. Felt a
I
little
thought it was cute.
Yeah, it felt a little forced. And then so many of the songs, maybe this is what my problem with like Let It Go was, is that, you know, the beginning with, you know, Do You Want to Build a Snowman made sense, and then Anna and Hans have a song together.
Love Is an Open Door.
Yeah, Love Is an Open Door. It, good music, but it felt like not organic to the story. Like, there were two song sequences that really stood out as like pointless. Like, I got that they were like, okay, they wanted to have a fun sequence, but it felt very not organic. And I'll compare it to Moana. So the two I'm thinking of in this movie are Olaf's song, his whole summer song, which was silly and like stupid because it was like, oh, it's funny because I'm a snowman and I want to see what summer's like and I bet it'll be fun, and I was like, this is dumb. And then the troll song when they're like, Kristoff wants to marry Anna.
Yeah, yeah,
that
okay.
was really dumb too, because you knew they were going to end up together. And that's Gasp. Why, yeah, the Hans thing, when it was like a reveal that the twist is that, oh, he's evil. Yeah. That felt very like forced, like, of course, because she has to get together with Kristoff.
Right.
But it felt, again, like that felt very unmotivated. It felt like a very forced, cheap way to make it easy for her to end up with Kristoff.
Yeah.
But the song that the trolls sing, not only does it not really reveal anything about character or push the plot forward or anything like that, because we already know they have a thing for each other, so it's not like them singing like, you guys are gonna get married, is anything other than like a goofy like joke fun song while they're like, no, we're not, we're just friends. But the reason I bring up Moana is you compare the music in Moana, I can't think of a single song or sequence that did not enrich the story or did not push it forward. The most fun goofy song I can think of, there are a couple. There's one with that like giant crab,
but even as
the crab is singing, there's like, I can't, it's been a while since I've seen Moana, but I know that they're using it as a distraction so that they can
get away,
like, exactly, to either get away or obtain an item.
Yeah,
but the other song I'm thinking of is the You're Welcome with Maui singing You're Welcome.
Yeah,
again, it reveals character, it's a fun goofy song, but it's enriching him as a character, it's showing how arrogant he is, and it's also kind of building their relationship. There were a lot of songs in this movie that isolated are like great. Let It Go is a great song. But in the context of the movie, it felt like they'd written the songs and then tried to fit them into a plot. And it didn't work for me. I didn't see that. Okay, so I'm
like,
just,
I see your points about plot being flimsy, but as far as song placement, I don't know if I agree.
Right.
So, you're just wrong is what I'm trying to say.
So I'm not convincing you that no. I'm right.
No, you're never going to.
Man, well, this is a shame. I mean, what's the point of even doing this show if I can't convince you that I'm right all the time?
I will say, I think this is the first one we've sat down where we've had
disagreement.
Yeah,
like, where one
disagreement.
Of us has liked it and one of us hasn't.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to. I feel like a lot of people beat up on Frozen. I will say I'm shocked.
Do they?
Yeah, people do.
And oh, okay.
But people beat up on Frozen for the same reason they beat up on any popular film.
Okay.
Especially Disney. Disney cartoons have a, because they you could call them obnoxious, because once you hear a song that in one of those movies over and over again, you kind of, it loses its appeal.
Sure.
And you lose the magic of what made the movie or the song good in the first place. I feel like Disney gets beat up a lot because it's Disney. Disney makes tons of money, so they're a very easy target. And they make very bombastic, very emotional, very simplistic movies. But some of them are amazing. In Frozen's case, what happens is, and you see this happen with a lot of movies that exceed expectations in any way, whether it's financially, critically, anything like that. This movie has an 89% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I mean I'm trying not to be a jerk, but that shocks me because I don't think this movie is very good. I think it has a lot of weaknesses from a critical standpoint or just a film and storytelling standpoint. But I think the fact that this movie has like $1.2 billion, that it is, you can call it the most
profitable
animated film of all time, that's shocking to me because I don't think this movie is very good. And I wonder, what do you think it is? Like, I feel like a lot of people have you know, beat up this movie because of things like that. I think a lot of people will say, like, will hate a movie like Get Out that had 100% on Rotten Tomatoes for a while because they're like, oh, it's not 100%. It's not that good. I feel like people beat up on Frozen for the same thing. And do you think there's like, if there's any backlash to Frozen that you've heard of, do you feel like it's like people saying things like that? Or have you run into a lot of people who complain about this movie?
Because
I feel like I probably, because I'm hanging out with a lot of guys, a lot of nerdy guys who are like, oh, Disney movies. And that's probably where I'm hearing a lot of this.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up on Disney princesses. They were my favorite animated movies. So even as an adult, when there's a Disney princess movie, I'm like all for it. And I haven't loved all of them, but I think there's something there for me personally. And I saw, like, when I saw this at first, I saw it with my best friend Emily. We saw it in theaters. It was Christmas or a little before Christmas, and we like freaking loved it.
This movie actually came out on my birthday in 2013.
Oh my
gosh.
November
27th.
Really?
How about that?
Wow.
So I should like it.
So I must not
worst
have
birthday
it
present ever.
I no, hope I didn't ditch you true. On your birthday back in 2013. Screw Sean, let's go see Frozen.
I know.
Happy birthday. No, but I mean, I have not heard too much negativity about it, honestly. Like, when you mentioned backlash, I'm like, really? Because it's made billions of dollars.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
I hear moms complain, of course, like we
it's
chatted
huge,
about.
It's huge, but it's like comparing this to like Moana or a Pixar
Moana
film.
Moana was great too, yeah.
What do you think it is about Frozen that
you got two princesses for the price of one?
Yeah, I guess it is, I mean, it's a very like girl power movie. It's about sisterly bonds.
Kid friendly, adult friendly,
great right,
songs, it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, well, the songs, like I will agree there, but it's tough for me to understand how this movie hooked people. In a way that, like, Moana, you know, it made good money. Moana made good money, but it didn't do Frozen business. Same with any Pixar movie from the past few years.
Like,
it's just very, like, I don't.
Maybe it's winter.
Appeal.
Maybe it's the winter
aspect.
Christmassy,
Olaf.
Everything's covered in snow. I mean, that's like my dream. You know, I'm like a Hallmark Channel junkie when it comes Christmas time. So for me, it's like I get Disney princesses. I get awesome singing and songs that I can sing along to later. And I get a winter wonderland.
You get winter wonderland. So so it's got to be like the landscape, just the fact that you can have two Disney princesses in a single movie is very exciting.
I wish I liked it more. I don't want to like jump on. A lot of my friends were kind of like, eh. And I was like, oh, well, I hope that because I kind of.
That's okay. You don't have to like everything I like.
That's exactly right. But the point I'm trying to make is that you have to agree with me.
No.
Whenever.
Sweetie.
I think I've established myself as the definitive voice of cinema of this day and age.
Of course.
That's what Missing Frames has proven.
Yeah.
This, that's the whole point, is that the internet needs to realize that I am the authority on these things. So what I say goes.
So what do you say about Frozen 2? What do you think?
I couldn't care
where do you,
less.
No,
I mean,
I'm saying where do you think they'll go?
I hope they let it go.
Stop it. Oh my gosh.
I don't know where they go, because this movie, honestly, like in all seriousness, I felt like this movie didn't go anywhere. It felt like the stakes are very low. It was very.
The whole town was frozen and people were dying.
Well, no one was dying. They didn't show anyone like,
they
oh.
They were shivering
like they
very
were like,
badly.
No, they were like building up, like they were piling up wood and they're like, oh, it's pretty cold out here. And it was like, oh, this doesn't seem so bad. And then Elsa, like they're like, Elsa is evil. And but she's not. She's just confused. And then at the end, of course, she's like, I have to learn to love. That's what will control my powers. And it took her that long to figure
love
it out.
Love saves the day.
Love
didn't
always
you
saves
hear
the day.
That in
I've seen
Star
The Last
Wars?
Jedi. That's the moral of every Disney movie, apparently.
Love will save us all.
Exactly. If you make $1 billion. If you're a Disney movie that makes over $1 billion, that
love
has
to
be
save the
moral
the day.
Of your movie. Love will save the day. But does it, do you, I'm trying to explain myself and I'm doing a terrible job, which is not a good thing for somebody who is hosting a movie podcast. But what I'm trying to say is it felt like, you know, the movie was focused on Elsa and Anna's relationship, but the stakes of like Elsa has a power that she can't control and she freezes a town by accident and Anna's like, I'll go get her. It just felt very, I didn't feel anything was at stake really. Like I didn't feel like emotionally attached. I didn't feel like there was anything that made me feel like, oh gosh, I hope she succeeds, because it was only really about the two of them. And because I didn't feel like I had developed any sort of relationship with those two characters, I didn't really understand them, I didn't really care what happened to them, and the whole movie is kind of hinging on that. I think they added the whole thing of like, oh, she froze her little town to give some sort of stakes, but again, it didn't feel like anything. It wasn't anything like Anna is just like, I'm gonna go help my sister immediately. It wasn't like she was like, oh, what's going on, this is weird, and then she like sees people are sick or dying or upset. They're just upset because they're like, oh, Elsa is evil. But Anna doesn't see like any sort of thing that motivates her in terms of like, I've got to help these people, I've got to save the day. She's just like, I'll go help my sister, it's fun. And she runs off and, you know, has her little adventure. And then, no, you know, back, they show the town very briefly, but everyone's kind of like, well, it's pretty cold out, but we'll be okay. And it's like, okay, so nothing is at stake in this movie. Elsa can just go off and do
her
own
thing.
Yeah,
but you have to think they have no food. They can't get out because of the boats.
Did they
frozen.
Say they don't have? Oh, that's
no,
true.
No, you can tell. Are, I mean, okay. Everything's shut down.
So they're isolated.
Yeah.
So
back up
is,
your negativity just a smidge.
So I needed to feel a little bit more of the stakes then. They don't really emphasize that. They kind of, it felt very like, oh, my sister's upset, I got to go help her. Like that felt like the highest the stakes ever got. And then, you know, they fight a giant snowman, which was fun.
But no stakes when she got iced in the heart?
No, because I knew she was going to be okay. Like, it's like she got iced in the heart, and then it...
Well, they did bait and switch with the true love.
They did. That was cool. Yeah. That was definitely like, oh, it's about her sister. Like, it was a nice little moment.
It's not like,
where,
oh, of course she has to go kiss the other guy. Right. Duh. It's like, no, it's sisterly. It brought it full circle, I thought.
Yeah.
Because it is a story about sisters.
It is, but that felt like a very... It felt like plotty, like very plotty. Like, oh, we have to create something that and it's not so bad. This is what every movie does. I'm not like saying like, oh, this is stupid. It's like, you know, obviously you have to raise the stakes, especially when you're getting closer to the end of the movie. You have to, your main character has to go through something, like threatening. But it felt a little too on the nose for me. Like I could see. It's like you don't want to see the puppet master. You want to see the puppet in the show. Yeah. But I could see the puppet master like, and now we'll have her get very sick because then, you know.
I mean, I get it. It is predictable. I'll give you that. It is a little beat for beat. And you're like, okay, and then this will happen. But I still like it.
All right.
That's my defense. Well, I got nothing, but I like it.
My compelling arguments can't convince you. I don't know what will.
No, you make very valid points, but it won't budge me just because I like it anyways. And, you know, I have no problem saying I like things that aren't amazing or critically acclaimed or whatnot. But I don't know. I'm willing to forgive a lot because I just have fun with the movie.
Right.
Like, it brings me happiness.
Yeah. And that's a good thing. I like
singing along.
Yes.
You Grinch.
I guess it's okay. So what's your favorite part of the movie?
Is
there anything like you've seen? This is what, your fourth time seeing it?
Yeah, something four or five, something like
that. So is there anything like you saw this time that you kind of appreciated more? Or
I will say something that I thought I noticed, but then I had to look it up on my phone because I wasn't positive. But just a little like fun thing is that during the part where they're doing Love is an Open Door, or I guess it's after that part where they open up the doors for the townspeople to come in for the coronation.
Very, very smart.
I know, right?
Love
did
is an
you
open
see
door,
what they did there?
And they open a door.
But they open it up to the townspeople, are Rapunzel and what's his name? Eugene?
Oh,
yeah. And
cool.
I was like, wait, that looks like Rapunzel. And then I Googled it and it is their little cameo. Yeah. And I had no idea. So that kind of blew my mind because I feel like I should have known that.
Yeah.
But that was kind of fun.
That is fun.
So that was something cool that I noticed this time around. I would say my favorite part, I don't know. I mean, I like the Let It Go sequence. I know you were like, this is dumb. I liked it.
No, I liked it.
I thought it was like empowering.
I think it threw me off because I thought it was going to be a more meaningful thing. And I didn't realize it was just her being like, oh, I can just be myself out in the middle of this
nowhere
wilderness. I thought it was kind of an emotional release. I was expecting it to be a little bit more of like significance.
Yeah,
it just felt a little.
Well,
like,
I just really like the song, so
it's,
that
it's
was
a,
like
it's
one
a very
of my
good song.
See, you can tell everything I say, it just goes back to I'm like, well, I like that song.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, like the soundtrack a
yes
lot.
Adele Dazeem gives a great
she
performance.
Does she's
I,
so
this,
good.
This Adele Dazeem thing, I'm sorry, it's not, I will not let it drop because this is the best thing that's ever happened.
I
cannot
I could watch that YouTube
ladies
video
and gentlemen
on loop.
If no one knows what we're talking about, just please do yourself a favor. So Idina Menzel, who you know sang the song, she plays Elsa in the movie, she's fantastic and she's an amazing singer. So she performed at the Oscars, I believe.
I think so.
And John Travolta introduced her at the Oscars before she performed Let It Go. And I don't know what happened.
No.
Nobody knows what happened. But he gets up on stage and he's like reading off the prompter and like
and it's
describing
very
her
like dramatic.
And then he does this thing where he goes, I'm so excited to introduce you to the wickedly talented. And he's like selling it and he's like totally devoted. And then he introduces her and he goes, Adele Dazeem. And I don't know what happened. Did he have a mini stroke that just like threw his complete like ability to read like out into the stratosphere of like he did not. I you have to look it up, everybody.
It's so good.
This is so Idina Menzel is Adele Dazeem to
yeah
me. And I think it's a beautiful thing. I think John Travolta is still bringing, you know, giving us gifts. He just gives gifts.
Yeah, without you know, being asked.
Gift, without being asked, he is giving us so much, so much, and we don't deserve it. And Adele Dazeem is, I think, the peak of his gifts. And I think Frozen needs a lot more Adele Dazeem. That's what I think I'm missing. Is I missed that. So Let It Go. That's your favorite.
Yeah,
scene.
I think
okay
so. Yeah.
And I really liked Kristoff a lot, and I think I have a bias because I love. What's the actor's name?
Jonathan Groff.
Yeah. I think I have a bias because I love Mindhunter and I love
yeah
him in Mindhunter. So I think
he's excellent.
That colored it. But I liked his relationship with, what was his reindeer's name?
Sven, right?
Yeah. Yep. I liked they had a
cute, I think Sven was
they had a
really
cute,
cute
little relationship.
I like Sven more than Olaf for sure.
Oh, I do too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Olaf,
he was
Olaf felt a little too like, here's the fun, goofy character who's going to make a
isn't
joke.
Isn't that Josh Gad though?
Yeah. And I don't want to.
Well, I'm not saying that in a negative way.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He
just
is
in
that,
case.
Like,
because someday Josh Gad could listen to this maybe if
no
if,
I love Josh Gad yeah, if, like Beauty and the Beast. I mean, if I'm thinking about these, he's kind
he,
of
he
like,
was great in Beauty
oh,
and the Beast.
He was fantastic.
Yeah.
He was I want him
I think he's funny.
Like,
I loved do you remember the videos he did with Daisy Ridley where he would try to get
yes
her to
yes
spoil Star Wars?
So funny.
That was very funny. So yeah. I like Josh Gad.
Josh Gad, we love you. Okay,
yeah,
we love
just
you.
Look, be on the podcast, please. Get us get us some traction. But like I yeah, Olaf just kind of again, the issues I have with the movie are the things it does, I can tell. I can see, like, okay, they created this character to be the goofy, fun character. They made Hans the bad guy so that she could end up with Kristoff. Just about everything. Nothing felt beyond surface level. It was very, like...
Yeah, I would agree with you.
I wanted more. I wanted to feel emotionally invested, and I didn't. And that means this movie's terrible.
Okay. Your rules, your podcast.
That's right. That's right. See, this is what we need. This is will make everything so much better. Okay. So what would your final rating be? How many Adele DeSimes would you give this?
Oh, I would give it like 4 Adele DeSimes.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like -1 for plot. Because I'm with you. Yeah. I know I fight back a little bit, but I agree. It's surface level.
Yeah.
Some shallow stuff. But I forgive so much because I still connected with it.
Sure.
And I just loved the characters and the singing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both characters and singing are wonderful things. I wish more movies had characters that sing.
Well, I think we're heading that direction.
I think probably. I will give it 2.5 out of 5. So right down the middle.
Okay.
I've already explained
generous.
It. I've already said. Everyone knows. I don't have to repeat myself. But I wish I'd liked it more because I don't want to just be like, oh, Frozen. Because again, like I said, I've heard a lot of my friends, a lot of people in my group have kind of dismissed it and been like, meh. And I was hoping it would kind of surprise me, and that because I didn't have any expectations going into it and wasn't really hyping it up in my mind, that it would just kind of be like, oh, that was actually really good. But it just didn't, I didn't connect with it the same way I did with that Disney's other more recent animated stuff.
That's fair.
I just think Moana is a high bar to reach, I feel
Moana is excellent.
I think that movie's spectacular.
Is
I really
it because
loved Moana.
My boyfriend The Rock is in it?
That's part of it. I think The Rock makes everything wonderful. But like even Tangled, I just felt like had charm and heart, and it just... Stuff that I didn't, this movie felt more artificial and calculated to me. And I hate that. I hate it. but you know, what really matters is what you people out there think. Do you like Frozen? Do you want to build a snowman? Yes or no? Tweet your answer to @YayShondorman. That's me. Or you can tweet to my wife, Sarah. Do you want people to tweet at you?
You can't. I am on a social media hiatus, but
that's right.
Tweet at me at With Love Alone, and I will check it out in
the
couple
poll.
Months.
Do you want to build a snowman? We should put this poll on the Nerd Party, which is at Join Nerd Party. Make sure you're following at Join Nerd Party. Again, like if you're not following, if you're not on the nerdparty.com, tons of cool stuff going on. I highly recommend it. There's something on there for everybody. We even have a podcast. We watch Frozen. I mean, this is Missing Frames. We watch classic cinema, but we're not so pretentious and snobbish that we can't go and watch a popular Disney animated film that has like a huge following. That's what it's all about.
Jack of all trades.
Even if that movie is not good, we will still watch it. I'm sorry. This is terrible.
Oh,
I feel bad. But yeah, so make sure you know you're following us. If you like what you're hearing, subscribe to us. Give us a 5-star rating. It gives us a little boost, and it helps gives us more the visibility. See, I can't even talk. That's how excited I am about the possibility that you could give us a 5-star rating. So please just fulfill that and make me happy. Make me a happy camper. So there you have it. Frozen. This is the final word on Frozen. I think we've both given the final words from each side of the argument. And that's all that will ever need to be said again until Frozen 2 comes out, which I have to say I'm not at all interested in seeing.
Next year you'll be going with me, though.
I know. I'm probably going. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll
have
movie pass. It's fine.
It's true. We can use movie pass. We'll be fine. But thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.